Hi, I'm Jill. I'm a travel advisor and owner of Jill Beth Travel. So I learned about Rita, her business, and her podcast through Instagram. We follow mutual accounts and somehow we ended up connecting, which led me to sign up and listen to her Travel Tech Audio Summit that she hosted last summer. I loved it so much. I feel like our industry can feel a bit antiquated sometimes with our different systems, processes, and structure. So when I heard that she was featuring a collection of new travel tech companies and products, I jumped on it. She asked great questions and I learned so much from all of her guests. And now I follow these companies and their journeys to growth and success. And actually, my host agency just recently switched to using one of these companies mentioned, which is Sion, in the last few months. And I'm really happy to say that I knew all about them and their background already from Rita's podcast months prior. So I find her to be extremely forward-thinking, creative, and solution-based, and super likable and relatable. I'll definitely be working with her directly if the need arises, and I look forward to continuing to learn from her and stay connected. Hello, hello, everyone. I am so excited. This has been a huge week. The Global Travel Advisor Day happened this past Wednesday. I hope that you all were out there celebrating in the best way that you know how to. Traveling, I mean, of course. Or if you weren't traveling, that you were like planning your next vacation or working with an amazing client this week. I know that the day kind of extends further out because I know there's so many suppliers that are having really great opportunities and promotions for you this month. So make sure to stay tuned in on all those. I know that ABTP, the Association of Black Travel Professionals, actually had like a big blog post, and I think Travel Market Report also did. So I'll try and link those up for you in the show description so that you can check those out. But thank you, Jill, so, so much for our quick little intro today. I am so stinking excited to like bring different stories of travel advisors that I've worked with or that I've helped. So stay tuned on a little bit more of that. Jill did participate, or she listened in on last year's audio summit, and she did sign up for this year's audio summit as well. So I can't wait to hear your feedback, Jill. So far from everyone else that I've heard, just really great. And somebody's already signed up with one of the new techs that we're about to talk about. So if you haven't signed up, it is just $9 to sign up. So I'll add the link to the bottom so that you can start tuning in to the Travel Tech Audio Summit this year. I am just so stinking excited. All of these conversations were great. And this episode that you're going to be listening to are really just short little snippets. So I do this during every audio summit. I kind of like give an extra highlight and push to everybody that's participating and give them about like 5-ish minutes so that we can also like highlight their interview on the main podcast. And so we have, if you didn't already know who was participating, we have Turn, Grouped, The Hive, Faye, Architect, better known as Toby AI, Find Travel, and Greet Her. And so we are going to dive in a little bit as to what all the different techs are. So without further ado, the first leader we're going to be speaking to or talking to is David Schull of Turn. He is the CEO of Turn, and I just really loved having this conversation because if you listen in the audio summit, we do talk about that a year ago is how David found the podcast and supercharged, really, like Turn is not only a CRM to supercharge your own travel business, but they have supercharged how travel tech is done within the travel industry. So if you didn't know about Turn, you're going to quickly find out. So let's dig in.
All of those are kind of like, how do we be 10x better at like how people have worked today? Mm-hmm. Where I think the opportunity gets really exciting is like, how do we rethink the way the industry works together? And and we'll start to do that later this year. And the example, I won't give away too much, but like, I think about, talking to advisors who work with DMCs, right? And like the process of like collaboration via PDF exchange is just like mind-boggling, right? Where it's like, I send you a PDF, then you enter that PDF into your system, and then I send you back another PDF and you enter that thing. And it's just like, really? Like 2024, this is how we're collaborating. And so I think like you'll see whole new modalities where like instead of that, like maybe you're just collaborating on a board, almost like you would a Google Doc, right? And I think that you start to bring in, and if you do that, you kind of get rid of this whole concept of credit card authorization. Like if the DMs, you can, if the client can pay the DMC directly through Tern without them ever knowing that the DMC is the one that's actually being paid, like there's these really cool ways that you can start to streamline the ecosystem. And so you'll start to see us, we'll continue, we will always have a focus on like building better and improved workflow features for advisors, but we'll also start to invest in how do we actually like restructure for the better how these different people collaborate. And I want to be really clear, like that is to make advisors more effective, right? I've yet to talk to an advisor who's like, my favorite part of my job is entering PDFs from DMCs into my itinerary builder. Like, that's not it, right? If you saved those 3 hours every trip you plan, or, and like things just get better. If your DMC, you've given them permission to see like the CRM records for your clients, and like, they just never, you don't have to send that PDF to them because they have the up-to-date information right away. You start to scale that out to different types of suppliers, and you really start to create something that changes the fundamental structure of how this works to be far more efficient, to elevate advisors, to make it so that they can better surprise and delight their clients, so that it's easier for people to work for with a travel advisor for the first time. And you really start to make it so that this industry, like I would love to live in a world in 5 years where like nobody's ever asked again, like, oh, travel advisors, like, aren't those kind of like a dying thing? And like, I think people perceive that because it's like, it's not actually easy to find a travel advisor today. It's actually like not easy to engage with a travel advisor in a lot of ways because of the technology. And that's what I think really needs to start to change for us to reverse this perception of like this industry shrinking and actually supercharge its growth. And technology, by helping restructure, by helping make it more efficient, by elevating the role of the advisor, is the requirement to do that. Yes. And I think we'll be able to build that.
Yes. No, I love where you're heading down and like the big vision, because that's something that I have been thinking about like the past year or so, is that this narrative of the travel advisor, does the travel advisor exist, and how do you work with them? How do you find them? It just needs to be easier so that people do this work, because so many people would rather, I mean, it's just commonplace for people of a certain level that, yes, I'm going to hire a professional to do this and to do this. They're going to do my taxes. They're going to fix the plumbing. They're going to financial plan for me. Just there's all these different avenues that it just makes sense for travel to be part of that as well. And so for it to be a no-brainer, but it to be communicated, it's almost like there needs to be a whole big communication plan to almost get travel advisors back on the map to being like a legitimate professional profession.
Yeah. Well, and I think just double clicking on that discovery piece, right? I think it is because, especially with the shift to IC, is because there's advisors everywhere, like because advisors focus on different niches. It's like, it's actually a little bit different than like an accountant, right? Like I agree with the sentiment, but like if you want an accountant, it's like you go on Google and you find an accountant nearby and like you go talk to them, right? Or you use like TurboTax, but like an accountant is an accountant unless you need some really specialized thing, right? But like, if you're looking for an advisor to help plan a trip to South Africa, like that may not be as easy to find in your community. You may not actually care if they're in your community. You're just looking for somebody that you connect with and that matches your working style. So there's this connection problem. And so the way that that works today is like, if you happen to know somebody that's worked with an advisor, they introduce you to their advisor. Right. If you don't know anybody, you probably don't know that advisors exist. Right. And even if you know somebody and like, but they're not that, like probably not a good fit for, you know, your budget in South Africa, then what? Like, and this actually happened to us. Like we introduced early on, we introduced a travel advisor to somebody who reached out to us asking for Iraq, and they're like, oh, it's not actually a good fit for me. And it's like, okay, like now what?
Right.
and I don't think they used the travel advisor because there's like no connection there. And they probably never will again. Right. And so that's like one more person who now has like lost the industry. Right. And so we think, and I don't know what this will look like. There's a lot to figure out here, but like, I imagine a world where somebody's like, oh, like you should work with an advisor. They make a recommendation, and if that recommendation is a good one, great, problem solved. If it's not, though, Tern can say like, cool, like, well, let's help you get connected to somebody who's actually going to be a really good fit for you. And like, we actually start to make those introductions, and suddenly we become the place. And you could imagine, you know, putting, you know, like you said, a global kind of communication effort around this, which is like, hey, like, you should work with a travel advisor and you'll find them on turn. Right. And like, I just think that there's like, then the whole flow becomes super, super streamlined. So there's a lot to this vision of how we think we start to grow the industry. And there's a lot for us to figure out, candidly, too, on how that all works. But I do deeply believe that if you take the amazing value that an advisor brings to the travel planning process and the human connection that they have, you combine that with technology that really supercharges them, which I think we're like a long way away from right now. Like there's so much admin work that goes into travel planning,
right?
And it's like, let's like compress that part down. And that lets people plan more trips. It lets the advisor do more with less. It lets the space of the sector support more travelers coming in. You just develop this really positive flywheel that helps everybody win.
I am just so impressed with the forward-thinking vision that David has. And it's just super exciting to hear the collaboration and everything that's coming down the pipeline. And I cannot wait to see exactly what David said, how you can supercharge your business. And I also love the piece where he mentioned about Turn being a vehicle of visibility for your business as well. So super, super exciting things. If you're kind of like, I need to hear more about what he's saying, then you need to make sure that you're registered for the audio summit. All right, the next tech that I'm talking to is Grouped. So if you are interested or you already do a lot of group travel on the books and you have been frustrated with some of the communication means on that, there's like so many things that are out there. There's WhatsApp, there's Facebook groups, there's Google Photos and all that. What if that all lived in one place? And that's what we're diving in with co-founders Leanna Rowan and Chanel Facey. So let's dive in.
And they vary. We've had groups that are just as small as 10 people, and we've had, like I said, 120 or so. So it can really work for any amount. I currently have a group that's using it that's going to St. Martin, and there's 87 people in that group, and they're all in the app. They're all using it and they're all chatting. They leave in about a month, but I can see them all talking. Did you book your seats? Where are you sitting? And they're all, I can see that communication happening with them. Right. But then Leanna just went away with her family the other day to Disney. And how many people were on that trip, Leanna?
There were 9 of us. There were 4 adults and 5 teenagers. So, and we had park days, and also one of my sons was playing baseball. So our itinerary was complicated. And rather than having everyone keep saying, Mom, what are we doing tomorrow? Mom, like, what is that? What time is that game? It was all in the itinerary. And I didn't have to answer any of those questions because they could literally just pull it up. Nice. Plus with the chat function, there's a main group chat. And then there's also, you can have private chats. So I had a private chat just with my husband and my kids. I had a private chat just with my husband. And so you can create little subgroups in the chats that are just private conversations so that you're not having to message everyone in the group if you're asking something that's for a specific person.
Okay. That's amazing. And I just love like the the ability to be like, instead of sending out an email, because we all know we are inundated with so much email marketing now, to be able to have like some sort of push notification to go out and to have like it all on an app, I think it just makes it easier for everyone. Because can you, as the travel advisor taking care of this group, can you send information and updates from your phone also then with the app?
Yeah. So you're actually, any agent, when they create a group, they're automatically listed as a member in the group.
Okay.
So they can have the app, they can communicate that way. It depends on the agent if they're traveling with the group, if they want to be part of those conversations. Alternatively, they can either remove themselves from the group completely if they don't want to be part of that.
Okay.
Or they can also just make themselves invisible so that they're not listed in the list in the group, so they can see what's going on, but they don't have to participate.
Okay.
And aside from that, even if they're out of the group and they're not part of it, there's an option for guests to actually message the agent right from the app. And it goes through, it's like a just a little form that they fill out, and it goes through to the agent's email. So if they're in destination and they're having a, they have a question or they have a comment, they can send it right from the app. They don't have to open their email and send an email from
there. Nice. Mm-hmm. That is super convenient. So kind of thinking about like the almost like the workflow, the process, where does the grouped app come in? Like, are you, do you start out like the client has already committed, they want to do this group? Do you start out with the grouped app? Do you send them to like the invoicing page? Like, how does this work when somebody's working with a group?
What I love about this question is this probably the one that Leanna and I went back and forth on a lot when we were doing this, because I'm of the thought process that as soon as I start a group, I'm throwing them into the group app.
Okay.
I know that they're joining, they're in there from the beginning of the process. Okay. I will send all notifications that way. I'll send that the final payment's due. I'll send that maybe your e-docs are being released. I'll send everything. Whereas Leanna's like, I might just use it just before my trip. So she's like, I'm actually going to throw them in just before we're actually physically traveling together. Okay. So it can work either way. It just really depends on the agent, and it depends on your business and how you want to use it. It's made to be used as soon as possible. And you can utilize whatever messages you need to send out from the jump. Or if you're someone who's like, I just want to use it just for the actual group, then you can just sign them up for that part. You just sign up the group for that period. And the group is live as long as you want it to be. Okay. Right. So it doesn't shut down after a certain period of time. When the agent decides they don't want this group to be active anymore, then they close it. And even at that point, there's still a notice that goes out so that all the guests of the group know that there's a 30-day period before this group expires. So get people's contact information, get connected. If it's like maybe a group of people you don't know, that would be the opportunity to do that.
Okay.
And actually, just on that point, one of the things that was really important to me, because I don't use my personal cell phone for work. Okay. So I don't like being like necessarily in a chat group where people then have my cell phone number, because I get messages like in the middle of the night. Right. What was the name of that restaurant that you told me about in Florence?
Right. Yeah. Hey, my toilet's broken. Can you help me? No, I can't. I'm not even where you are. No.
Right. Yeah. So I don't like having my number on it. So what I like about this is that it's no numbers. It's literally just your name. So people don't have access to that personal information. And especially if you're in a group where maybe it's a group of strangers and you don't necessarily want them to have your phone number. Yeah. So with the notification that the group is going to close within 30 days, that's an opportunity for anyone who wants to keep in touch after can exchange phone numbers if that's what they choose to do. Okay. So, and that was really important to me. I did not want my phone number anywhere on it so that I wasn't getting random calls or random texts.
That was probably one of my favorite things when they mentioned that no phone numbers were included, because that's kind of like one of my favorite things about Voxer and doing things with Voxer is that people don't know your phone number, so that your phone number, because I know a lot of us use our phones like both for business and personal, but really we don't want to be answering, like we want to have that kind of like line, that invisible line between the sand. And that's a little bit of what the grouped app helps to do. Now, they go on to also talking how the grouped app can help with marketing for next groups. So you'll definitely want to stay tuned on that episode, because like I just see so many possibilities for using this app, not only for travel advisors, but also travel suppliers and people that run fam trips. Like I am heavily considering for my next fam, which is coming probably in the next couple months, so stay tuned on that, using the grouped app for all of these communications, because I so agree, like having like one central hub, one central app to just communicate with everybody and that everything can be stored in is so stinking excited. So make sure to check them out. Also, I have not mentioned, some of these tech companies do have exclusive offers for you. So you'll find out about those exclusive offers when you're registered. It's in the show description of each episode. So I know Turn had a special discount code. Grouped also has a special discount code for you. So make sure to sign up to take advantage of those special promos that all these companies have out for you. Next up is Faye. I'm talking with co-founder and CTO Dan Green. It was an amazing conversation. Dan reminds me a little of David Chait from Travify in the sense of like they are so mission driven, people forward, heart centered. It just gave me all the good vibes. And that's not necessarily a feeling that we get when we're talking about travel insurance. So let's dive in into this travel insurance that is super, super techie.
We had the insight that when people were traveling all the time, mm-hmm. The smallest inconvenience became absolutely magnified.
Right.
And it seemed like so long as you had suffered this inconvenience before, you knew what to do. But when you faced it for the first time, especially if it was 2 a.m. and you just missed a connection, it was an unfamiliar airport, everything felt absolutely terrible.
Right.
So we started a company that could predict or detect that something was about to go wrong with your trip, canceled flights, delays, diversions, all these sorts of things, and immediately send you the advice and instructions, what to do about it, other flights that would be leaving that day, sort of like your best friend who's way too knowledgeable about travel that you would probably text in this scenario anyway.
Right.
And we went, great. Companies around the world would be really happy to know that their staff could be protected by just, you know, texting their flights to over Messenger or SMS or WhatsApp, and just know that someone's looking out for them. If anything goes wrong, all the advice will come in instantly.
Mm-hmm.
We launched that company in December 2019. So obviously, you know what the punchline is going.
Oh, yeah.
So immediate adoption. The first week, 5 people used it, then 15 people used it. Then at any point in time, we had about 50 people in the air using the tool. And suddenly everything stops. And it turns out that we could predict one individual flight being delayed or canceled. We just couldn't predict every single flight in the entire world at the same time being delayed and canceled.
Right.
But a few people continued to fly and they continued to travel even in those early days of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And they would, and some of them would find out about our technology and they would use it. And we would ask them the same question at the end of those trips. What could we do better? Was it useful? And time and again, we always got the feedback, this was amazing, but I kept thinking, if something terrible goes wrong, who's going to pay for it all? I mean, does my credit card cover it? Do I need to cover it?
Right.
Can my employer cover it? And it really was the moment that we realized that travel insurance, especially in the US, is often really misunderstood.
Right.
Not enough people buy it. Too many people think that their credit card will look after them no matter what goes wrong.
Right.
And so Faye was born in that moment. And obviously it takes a little time to pass all the regulatory hurdles. There's a lot of licenses that you need. We made sure that we did things by the book and mm-hmm. correctly. And then really when we met the market, when people started purchasing our travel protection policies and plans, we really understood there's just no brand. There's no brand. And if there is, there's no brand with a reputation of really caring about
right.
customers. So we set about building a travel insurance company that you would hopefully come back to again and again,
mm-hmm.
that travel advisors and travel retailers would recommend because they really believed, if I connect you to Faye and something goes wrong and Faye looks after you, you're going to remember that I was the one who introduced you to Faye.
Right.
And you're going to be grateful to me as well. And we've always made it that travel advisors and retailers can even open claims on behalf of our customers so that they really feel like they can offer that extra level of service.
Right.
But the insight of Faye overall is that it's really important to have a brand and a relationship and really care about looking after customers so that they'll want to come back again and again. You know, so many people don't always appreciate that if you paid, let's say, $200 for a travel protection and you mm-hmm. went on a trip and absolutely nothing went wrong,
mm-hmm.
lose that money. Some other poor person who had a tumble while skiing and spent
right.
3 weeks in hospital with a broken leg, they received most of that $200. Oh, and by the way, a lot of other people's $200 to look after them. So it's really important that we're able to help people understand that travel insurance is real. It's important. It looks after you. And a big part of how we're able to do that is when things go wrong on your trip, we try really hard to be proactive. If you can tell us about your flights, just like the original start for the company, we mm-hmm. monitor flights for you and we try as much as possible to look at and examine claims whilst you're on trip and get money to you whilst you're on trip.
I don't know about you, but the way Faye talks about travel insurance, I just keep thinking, this just makes sense. This is how travel insurance should be. It should be easy for people, especially who are in like the greatest time of need. So I hope you enjoyed listening to that interview with Dan. And now let's head over. We're going to talk a little bit about the research process and kind of like that knowledge building process with Whitney Schindler of The Hive. You may also know her from Masters in Travel. And I know she does a lot to support the travel industry. So I was super excited to talk with her. And not only that, I was super excited to geek out because we both have backgrounds in hotels and the hospitality industry. So we won't talk about that in this snippet, but we're going to dive into The Hive.
There's this other gigantic puzzle piece that is all of the knowledge gathering. So sometimes we are sitting in our office and we are posting questions on a Facebook group. We are scouring the Facebook group, seeing if anyone has asked a similar question before. We right. are texting and voice messaging our colleagues. We are in WhatsApp groups from the fam that we were on 3 years ago, being like, does anybody know about this hotel in South America? We are Googling. We are down Google rabbit holes. And sometimes that piece of the puzzle actually is taking place outside of our office. And we're at fams, we're at conferences, we're at trade shows.
Right.
This puzzle piece, I have started calling the knowledge gathering puzzle piece.
Love it.
Because we need all of this knowledge. We need all of these insights. But right. how we spend our time in this puzzle piece, it differs throughout the year and throughout the week, right? So the other puzzle piece that is engaging with clients and planning trips and getting passports and all that stuff, we have so much incredible technology supporting that part of the puzzle piece.
Right.
And some of them are a part of your Travel Tech Summit this year.
Yes.
So CRMs like TravelJoy and Turn, really big, important tech support for that puzzle piece. Itinerary designers like Travify and Access, really big tech support for that part of the puzzle piece. But what I started to discover and feel frustrated about is that this puzzle piece related to all of the knowledge and information and expertise that we need to do our jobs really, really well, there's no technology to support
right.
that. None. And
right.
so what that means is A, we're all flying by the seat of our pants.
Yep.
B, we are all just doing the best that we possibly can. And some of us are extremely organized and we've got the spreadsheets and we've got, you know, like a lot of my friends are like, do you want to see my Rolodex? And I'm like, you have a name for it.
Right.
Of course you have a name for it. We've got Google Docs, we've got Trello boards. I mean, we've got everything. And this was me as well, like really, really, really just trying to stay organized, keep the information that I was gathering in a safe spot so that when I needed it again in 6 months, I wasn't wasting 20 minutes looking for it.
Right.
But no matter how well or how well we're saving this information or how organized we are, A, it's still never going to be the best it can possibly be because we are still working in a silo by ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And so I have my system, you have your system, and every single right. travel advisor you talk to, we all have our own systems. And the part that started to was like the kindling of the fire for me.
Yeah.
Was that when I would look at other travel advisor systems that they had built, they have the same information I do, which means we are right. all doing the same work, right. but we're not all benefiting from each other's gaps or right. each other's knowledge and insights. So the Hive is the technology solution for this really, really big, really important puzzle piece of our workflow. Mm-hmm. So it brings together, imagine like a pie chart. Imagine like a pie with four chunks.
Yes. Right? Yep. That's what I was imagining when you were talking about the Perfect. Different gaps.
Perfect. We're following along on my visuals here.
Yes.
It's all in my head. So I just got to make sure I like use the right words to describe it. Imagine a pie with four pieces, and the Hive brings together four pieces that even if I'm doing the absolute best I can as an individual, I can't get access to all four of these pieces by all right. myself. So the information and the knowledge and the expertise that travel advisors need to do our jobs really well and efficiently is supplier information. Mm-hmm. So this is information from the hotels. Do you have connecting rooms? What is your average nightly rate during high season? Mm-hmm. Do you have a kids program? Is your beach swimmable? Stuff like this. Right. Actual information from the supplier.
Right.
The second piece is feedback from our colleagues. So, hey, my Instagram is just chock full of travel advisors at every corner of this globe at all times.
Right.
And I know, like I have friends who are just at Duco, Italy, and they were just at the Astor River Cruise Expo. And then they yep. were, now they're on a fam right. in the Caribbean. Then they're going on a fam in Japan. And it's just like, A, I want to know how you felt about all of those things that you just did. What were your impressions of the site right. inspections that you conducted on the ships? What were your impressions of the hotels that you got to stay at? What did you love? What did you feel missed the mark? And it's not positive and negative of like, what was good, what was bad. It's actually more about, hey, you saw 12 ships. Which client profiles are best for ship number one versus ship number three?
Yes.
It's not about good and bad. It's about right. how do we find the best fit? Yes. Right?
Yep.
So
playing that matchmaker role.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's really what separates a travel advisor from a travel agent mm-hmm. is it's not like, well, I know this ship or I know this hotel. So here, I'm just going to book it for you. It's like, yeah, that hotel is best of the best, award-winning, accolades all over the place. I don't right. think it's the best fit for you because of XYZ.
Right.
I would actually recommend this other one over here for you to consider. That's right. where we get to be matchmaker and travel advisor, right?
Yes.
So the second piece of the pie on the Hive is the advisor feedback.
I don't know about you, but I feel like sometimes we don't really realize, and you don't really realize how much of a bad booty you are in terms of like that real travel advising piece that Whitney was just talking about, that travel matchmaking and the intense like nuance that each of us has as individual people, and then that the nuance that each individual property or experience or ship can also have. And having that discerning eye, that discerning ear as a travel advisor, like how pretty epic that is to be able to have that skill. So pat yourself on the back. Whitney does discuss a couple of the other things that are in the Hive. So I know we touched on, I think like two-ish of the puzzle pieces, but there are a few more. So make sure that you tune in to her episode on the Travel Tech Audio Summit. The next tech that I want to bring on right now, let me see. I believe it is the wonderful Lisa Watson from Find Travel. So let's dive in.
The listings we have, listings that I put in based on the fact that I know that they're credible. Uh-huh. They may not be members, but okay. I wanted to put them on there because I wanted the travel advisor community to know about it.
Okay.
I do have my elite supplier members listed as well, like various host agencies from Nexion, to different boutique agencies too that are smaller, more niche market, which I am so proud to showcase. To
give yeah.
more with the host agencies for travel.
I think advisors. I had seen Rainbow Getaways was yes. one.
Yep. Rainbow Getaways is one. So definitely want to bring a different flavor to, you know, the choices of the host agency. So yes, mm-hmm. they are an elite member as well. Cruise lines, celebrity cruises, Riviera River Cruises just came on board. Tour operators, Celtic Tours is an elite member.
Okay.
So there it's a wide diverse selection. Client gifts. There is a lady who has a small business for travel size eyeglass cleaners that you can give as a gift. Oh. And it's just, I'm so proud to support the small businesses too, because I make it affordable for people who can come on board to be more of an elite member, to get more traction, more exposure on the platform. So that's right. another passion project of mine, is giving a voice to those smaller suppliers and businesses that may not have the deep pockets to afford right. different platforms to be able to market to, because marketing is my background for the travel advisor community. So I kind of know the ins and outs of that. But you can go to the homepage, go through, search through the box that's on the main homepage, and you can see all the categories that I have listed there.
Okay. Ooh, that is super cool. So, okay, we talked kind of like a little about the listings. I want to dive in a little bit about the workshops that you also do. And so when somebody is putting on the workshop, like, give us, I guess, the lay of the land. Is this... XYZ supplier, they're fully doing this kind of like interview based with you? Like, what types of workshops are available or have you had before?
That, you know, that is in the works, to have that one-on-one, you know, forum of Q&A with my elite suppliers. But you'll also see workshops that I've done for, you know, your appearance on Zooms, anything that helps with your professional development. From filling out edible forms, some Canva training as well. So it varies all over the place, that I will actually do some of the workshops myself. I also have guests that come on as well to do social media workshops, because you know what, they're more knowledgeable than I am in certain markets. segments. So I welcome to bring other people with their expertise. There's those workshops, and also there's the webinars too. I have a webinar directory, and I'm pretty particular about what webinars to post on there. I want it to be a little bit different, more unique, rather than, you know, hey, here's, you know, a presentation just about our company. No, I want them to dive in a little bit more, make it very valuable for the time that the travel advisor is investing to be able to attend that webinar.
Okay. All right. And so when we're thinking about, I want to go back to the events calendar too. How is this organized for someone who may be like, I just need to learn destination training, or I just need to learn business basics? Like, if they look at the events calendar directly, like, what are they going to find?
Well, you can, you know, there's so many events listed there. There is a search box to help you find the right events.
Cool.
So you can put a keyword in there. It'll bring up whatever event has that keyword in it. It'll bring it up by destination location. I recommend it up by a state or country. And so you have more of an idea of, you know, what's in your area. You can, you know, there's the calendar that you could put in the dates. If you're only available during a certain time in your schedule, you could bring it up that way. And there's also the categories. So the categories have more of a, I believe, can't pick it off the top of my head, I'm sorry, but, you know, like more like trade shows, if it's, you know, super inspections cool. or chapter gatherings and stuff, you can really niche it down. And then there's the map feature that I just love. And it's a little hidden icon in the top right corner with like a location pin. You click on that, baby, that I get all excited about it. It brings up the whole map of all the events that you have populated currently on that page for the directory for the events. And it will show you all the events on a map, and then you can click to learn more about that event based on whatever, you know, pinpoint drop for that location of the event.
Did you know that Lisa and Fine Travel are semi-finalists? Well, they were semi-finalists of the ASTA Entrepreneur of the Year Award this year. They have now graduated and they were voted as finalists. So make sure if you're heading over to ASTA, the Travel Advisor Conference later this May, be on the lookout, meet Lisa, learn all about her website, her directory of resources for you, because Lisa, just like myself, is a huge champion and proponent for this industry. So make sure to give her a shout out and support as she heads onto the stage to talk about Fine Travel. So, hint, hint, plug, plug, probably not the right phrase, but did you know that we had actually three semifinalists on the audio series? So not only was Lisa at Fine Travel, David at Turn was a semifinalist, and then Richard, who's coming up from Architect, better known as the founder of Toby AI, were also semifinalists. Now I know for sure that Lisa and Richard are finalists. There's a third finalist, and I have a pretty good bet that it is Turn, but I don't have absolute confirmation of it, so don't quote me. But regardless, they were all three semi-finalists, so shoot them a huge congratulations. All right, let's dive into some AI with Richard Earls.
Had a artificial intelligence. It won't be Toby, it'll be Roxy.
Okay.
And we could screw Roxy into any CRM.
Okay.
And it would immediately recognize the API of the CRM. And I know that sounds very technical.
I know, yeah. But
basically he would know everything about that CRM the moment he touched it.
Right.
Well, what we typically use a CRM for now is in a very administrative way.
Right.
It keeps track of our client profiles. It keeps track of our commissions.
Right.
But what if your CRM could tap you on the shoulder and say, I see a trend over here that you might be missing. Let's talk about it.
That tingles, because I've talked to advisors who would love for CRMs to be more intuitive.
That's coming. It's not going to be intuitive. It's going to be predictive.
It's going to
be able to see things that you're not going to see.
Okay. So like your booking patterns.
We've already trained Toby to take information on past travel and use it to suggest future travel to clients. Well, if he has access to your CRM, then he's got a wealth of knowledge that he can analyze instantaneously.
Right.
That it would take you a long time to notice a trend, to notice a pattern. He's going to see it immediately.
So kind of when we're talking in terms of that, almost forecasting, like you make your most commissions February to April. And those commissions are primarily ocean cruises or luxury cruises or Mexican all-inclusives. Are we talking about those types of trends or is it something else?
I think it could be beyond that even.
Okay.
It could be, hey, I'm noticing your clients are booking closer in. Here's what I think that might mean. I'm noticing that a lot of your clients spend more when they not only when they get a cruise cabin, but when they go upwards to a balcony, they never go back. So what we need to do is work on the sales cycle so that we're introducing the balcony early on.
Okay, yeah.
Now that's common knowledge. We know that.
Right.
But we're doing a million things during a day.
Right.
And if we have our new teammate telling us that this is where we ought to focus, we're more likely to do it.
Yeah, no, I'm a little nerding out internally right now because I just having talked to travel advisors about different things like that, it's hard to do even like forecasting financials. And so they're right now, I think like a lot of analytics within some CRMs are a little bit, they're starting to get there. They're starting to get on par. But even being able to notice that or things like that. And I mean, I feel like even the more that you put into your CRM, like, how did you find this person? And then right. having that AI component being like, do you know that you find a majority of your clients when you go to these type of events or through this person or through these type of people?
Yeah, that's exactly correct. The things that may elude us
mm-hmm.
when we look at our data,
right?
Because again, we tend to use it administratively.
Right.
The CRM can become, the AI can become predictive
mm-hmm.
and can begin forecasting
mm-hmm.
rather than simply observational study of data.
Right.
It's actually going to be predictive.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not going to stop with your CRM. It's going to be in booking engines. It's going to be in all of your financial data.
Mm-hmm.
And those things shouldn't scare us.
Right.
Those should be things that make us excited about the potential.
Yeah. Yeah.
And as long as we stay out front of it and are using it, you know, I'm not worried about AI replacing travel advisors.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not worried in the least about that. Right. Toby has never been to Paris. Toby has never been on a river cruise. He's never right. eaten at a cafe. But I am concerned about the agents who aren't using it because other agents are going to be using it.
Now, I will say, I feel like I was probably a really big skeptic of Toby AI for a while because I'm like, what can Toby AI do that ChatGPT can't do? And so this conversation with Richard was super enlightening and just super helpful to see that people are thinking of AI more than just marketing, because I think like that's the immediate thought when we think about AI. So I chose this snippet specifically to also highlight like one of my favorite parts of this episode and show you what like the future of AI specifically in the travel industry is looking like and what you can do and just the possibilities, because I think the ability to have Toby as almost your assistant a little bit and help you with forecasting and picking up on trends, it just helps so much, especially if you are a solo travel agency owner. So totally geeked out on this interview, as you can probably tell. Let's get into our final interview, which is with Greeter, the founder, Vanessa Carroll. And I can already tell you that I've already received a message from a travel advisor who has tuned in and already booked their first experience with Greeter to try it out. So let's dig in.
Yeah, so how they could utilize Greeter for their travelers is that this is a great additional service that they can, you know, refer them to, especially if like their travelers are someone who love local experiences or are not as, you know, we have very experienced travelers using mm-hmm. Greeter. Like we have women who have traveled to 70 countries and still using Greeter because now they found it and they're like, oh my God, I wish this had existed before I like started right. traveling. And me too, like I'm a very experienced traveler, but that said, there's simply, when I go to a new destination, obviously I'm using Greeter. And mm-hmm. sometimes like if I haven't been to a place before for a long time, you know, for example, like I just mentioned, I haven't been to Puerto Rico in a long time. So yeah. I would love to have a Greeter when I go back so they can show me what's new, where's the new hip, you know, neighborhood. So like for travel agents or travel advisors, like this is a great add-on that they could definitely try to upsell to travelers, because it's going to make, first of all, their arrival so much smoother.
Right.
The traveler's peace of mind, like, great, because you know that when you're on the ground, you have someone already who you can reach out to. Even in places, like, for example, I have Mexican background, so whenever I'm in Mexico in some places, like, even though I speak Spanish and stuff, like, I'm like, I need to talk to someone who's here, because like, I don't know how things work here, like, you know, I live there. So basically, I think it's like for anyone, like, you don't have to be an experienced or experienced traveler. We have women who are 80 years old using us, and we have women who are 18 years old using Greet Her, because their parents are like, oh my God, my teenager really wants to go abroad, or like with her girlfriend. So like, I'm going to book them a greeter at each city that they're going to in Europe. So we have that. And we have older travelers that actually, like, I feel like they love Greet Her, especially because, you know, it, when you're aging, you have different needs, and like, you need different pacing. So if you're a regular tour, you have to catch up and you have to run fast. But if you're someone who has, you know, mobility issues or accessibility needs, this is a great alternative too, because, you know, that said, we don't have greeters who are like certified to, like, for people with disabilities, but they can help you, you know, if they feel like this is an area where they can support you. But but we have travelers who are like, I need to walk slower, or I have a walker, can you help me, you know? And it works amazingly, especially, for example, even when you're in layovers, long layovers, you're like, I don't want to leave the airport because what if I get lost? So if you have a greeter, they can just like meet you at the airport, show you the city real quick, the highlights, and then bring you back, or show you the public transportation.
Okay.
So like, yeah, it's showing up like so many activities, you know, and like, if you are a travel agent who books people travel with long layovers, is also an amazing selling point, because, you know, you can tell them, no worries, in this layover, stopover, you can also quickly go and like explore Stockholm or Paris or whatever city, you know?
Yeah. That, it's just so neat, because I was thinking too, I'm like, the rail system overseas, like, really, I feel like so nervous to use it. And like, thankfully I've used it with friends who are more experienced than I am. But that's something I'm like, oh, okay, I can consider like possibly using like a greeter for that type of scenario. Like, I need to get on a train, or I want to do a train trip through here and here. Like,
yeah,
help me out so I don't get lost around here.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Yeah. Because the other thing that I thought about was, what's listed on everybody's profiles, because you mentioned like a really great thought, at least about like mobility issues. And I think, because I have special dietary needs, so I'm definitely gluten-free. So I'm like, would I be able, if I was looking for or to be matched with a greeter that had knowledge on that, is that even a possibility? So what can you kind of like narrow down if you're looking at different profiles for an area?
You don't select the greeters, we match you. So, but we try. I mean, we try to matchmake as much as possible. Like, for example, like, we've had vegetarian or vegan travelers, and we have matched them with some greeter who had experience in like vegan cuisine in Tulum, for example, you know?
Oh.
And we try our best, but like that said, because our platform is a gig economy, so we try to find someone who's available at the time that you need them, that they speak the language that you need them to speak, that they match your, you know, interests. So something like that, I think, I mean, if you're gluten intolerant, things like that, you can comment on it to your greeter, because they may be able to give you recommendations, because they know the area, right? Like, I'm in San Francisco, I would tell you right away which restaurants I would recommend you to go, because I'm sure they'll have, I mean, San Francisco is so like forward thinking that you could find gluten-free anywhere, you know, here.
Right. Yeah. But, I would feel safe there.
In some countries it might be harder, like, you know, in Italy, right? Like, it's so hard to eat gluten-free things in Italy. But yeah, we matchmake as much as possible.
There you have it, our seven featured companies within the Travel Tech Audio Summit. We heard from The Hive, Turn, Grouped, Greeter, Find Travel, Fay, and Architect. So I hope that you have enjoyed these little snippets. If you want to dig in more and get the exclusive offers. So again, we have exclusive offers from The Hive, Turn, Grouped, and Find Travel. Oh, and Architect does also have a bonus in there as well. So you're going to have to sign up. It's just $9. I'll add the link below. But I cannot wait for you to tune in. And if you have already tuned in, please give me your feedback because I would love to improve this for next year's Audio Summit. All right, you have a fantabulous week and I will see you here next week.